This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi wa alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala abdillahi wa rasulihi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. My brothers and sisters, today people like to show off. In all honesty, social media and a lot of what we see on social media is people showing off what they have. And people, by doing that, do not realize that not only are they only showing the best of what they perhaps have even photoshopped at times regarding their lives, but it causes a lot of harm and distress in the hearts of others. Allah Almighty has taught us to look at those who have less than us if you want to appreciate what He's blessed you with. For example, a person who's bought his first motor vehicle and it happens to be a 1990 Toyota or something, he appreciates it, he worked so hard to get it. But if his eyes are not going to be focused on that which is less than what he has, very soon he's going to lose the appreciation of that gift. And he will start telling himself, you know what? I'm not happy with this car, but you worked so hard. It took you 30 years to get to where you are today. And here you are making something known as ingratitude to Allah. So in order for us to be blessed by Allah, let's make sure that we look at those who have less than us. For this to happen, do not be fooled by what you find on social media. I've known of people who've actually told me that we have gone out to stores and to places in order to make a beautiful picture to put on Instagram or a video to put on TikTok and so on, in order to make ourselves feel better, yet we don't lead that type of a life. If people are telling you this, imagine the onlooker who is really thinking, I've not made it in life. Because they are watching people who have really not made it in life, besides knowing how to take a photo. Subhanallah. So look at how superficial we've become in this day and age. My brothers and sisters, gratitude to Allah is one of the biggest ibadah, one of the greatest acts of worship, to thank Allah for what you have. Allah says if you are going to be ungrateful, punishment would come in your direction. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. The announcement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the previous nations is that if you are going to show gratitude to Allah, be grateful to Allah, He will grant you more and more. He will give you increase. And if you are going to be ungrateful, then Allah says, indeed, my punishment is severe. What does it mean when He says, my punishment is severe? He means what you have also, I may take it away. And I may not give you things that you want because you are not grateful for whatever I've given you. Every time I speak about the favors of Allah, there is something unique that I like to remind myself about. And we talk about it because the reminder would help the believers. That is, do you realize that Allah Almighty says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you are going to try to count the favors of Allah, you will never be able to count all of them. Impossible. So, how many favors has Allah bestowed upon me? Countless. Any one of us tries to count the favors of Allah, we won't be able to. But the opposite is actually true. What is the opposite? Allah says, when I've tested you or taken away from you, you can count all of that. Subhanallah. Amazing. How many problems you have? Allah says, I guarantee you that you can count. Subhanallah. Rabbil Alameen. Look at Allah. He says, your favors you can't count. Your problems you can count. Every one of us, I want you to spare a moment right now, right here. Think of a few issues you're facing. You won't manage to count more than 5 to 10. Wallahi, I promise you. Some of them might be big, some of them might be small. I got this problem, this problem. I can think of some now. Luckily, you can't see them all on my forehead. But I got this problem. That's it. You count four or five things and you're done. Man becomes distant from Allah and starts saying, Allah doesn't love me and Allah hates me, without realizing that, oh man, Allah's favored you beyond your imagination. The very heartbeat that you have, 136,000 times a day, is something, had you had to pay for it, you would become bankrupt and even beyond. That's a heartbeat. Thank Allah. Favors of Allah. Be happy with the condition upon which Allah has kept you in terms of your material standing on earth, while working hard towards building yourself, because it's a natural human thing to want better. It's no harm in that. There is no harm in that. I am allowed to want better. I'm a human being. Today I have a job, I have a salary of, for example, £500, I want 6, and I want to work towards 7 and 10, and I want to perhaps earn more and more, and I want to, no problem. For as long as that is not distancing you from Allah, it's a blessing. But in your quest to achieve more and more, if that is actually drifting you away from Allah, even if you get how much you wanted, it was not a blessing. It's not a blessing. What's the point of a guy driving a Lamborghini and whatever else there is and there was? By the way, it's not my favorite car. I'm just mentioning it. But imagine you have all of that and you don't have a connection with Allah. My brother, you can do better. My sister, you can do better. Allah blessed you with so much more than others, but you don't have a connection with Allah. We are here today to say you can do better by the will of Allah, because a day will come when you will leave all of that and return to Allah. The only thing that will help you, your deeds. So what deeds have you done? I used the same vehicle to come to the masjid. I used the same wealth to empower those who were poor. I paid not just my zakat, but my lillah. It's a problem that we have. When I say lillah, I'm talking of sadaqat, that which is voluntary. Problem we have is, you see, all acts of worship, when you look at the pillars of Islam, and that which is ibadah in terms of, say, salah and zakah and hajj and even fasting, every one of them has the farad aspect and has the non-farad aspect. For example, you go for hajj if it's farad on you. But if it's not farad on you, you've already done it, you can do another one. Or you can do umrah. There's always scope for that, right? You can do as many umrahs as you want. The more you do al-umratu ila al-umrati kafaratu lima baynahuma. The two umrahs, between them, all the sins committed, minor sins, wiped out between the two umrahs. So make as many umrahs as you can. But is it compulsory? No, it's just your goodness. Last night I told people that one of the best places you can visit, we don't call it a holiday, but during the holidays, you see, is to go for umrah. Take your family once a year, minimum, if you can afford it. If you can't, then at least once at some point, take them. The kids will never forget that connection and bond with the house of Allah. We saw it on, you know, clips and videos and whatnot. And then we went there and we felt it. That feeling is unmatched. They will keep coming when you've passed on. Your children, because of some type of habit you created, they will keep coming to that place. And you will get a reward for it. So we keep going, mashallah, the house of Allah. But it's not compulsory, it's voluntary. The hajj, you made it once a lifetime. Let me give you another example. Your salah, you have farad. Beyond the farad, don't you have the sunnah and the nafil and the wajib and whatnot? Subhanallah. Look at your zakah. The same rule applies. You have your zakat, which is 2.5%. Beyond that, you've got charities you should be giving. A person continues to involve or to engage or to give that which is not compulsory but for the cause of Allah, until he becomes so close to Allah. You want to gain closeness to Allah? Concentrate beyond your farad on the sunnah and the nafil. You get even closer to Allah. Very high degree. I tell people, and I've said it nearly every day, that if you want to know one of the signs of the love of Allah for you. We all want to know, right? One of the signs of the love of Allah for you. He ensures that you fulfill your obligations towards Him, enjoying it. What does this mean? Time of Fajr, I set my clock. Say for example, Fajr is at, now it's about 4:30. I don't know this part of the world, right? Say for example, right? Come 4 o'clock, my eye is open, but my clock is set for 4:15. What was that? That was Allah telling you, my worshipper, I want you to come. Don't rely on the clock, rely on me. That doesn't mean don't set the clock, because if you guys try that, you're going to miss the salah, right? Don't come and say, let's try it for today. What I mean, set the clock, but you will notice, wallahi, there will come a time when you do it for the pleasure of Allah, that before that clock, you get up 2 minutes and you can turn the clock off. Wallahi, it's a fact. You can turn the clock off. You didn't disturb anyone. Why? It's a sign, Allah saying, my worshipper, this is the time you get up. Come, come, come. Salah. Tahajjud, come forth. And then you get up and you do wudu with a smile, even though it's cold and the water's not going to be so easy to navigate. But no problem, I'm going to do it for Allah. And you get up and you enjoy your salah. That's a sign of the love of Allah. When you enjoy your farad and your ibadah, it's a sign of the love of Allah. That is gratitude. That is showing gratitude to Allah, being grateful. Being grateful regarding the favors of Allah upon you is not just by saying like alhamdu wa laka shukr, which is part of it, but that's not the only part of it. I say, oh Allah, I thank you. Oh Allah, you blessed me. Alhamdulillah, subhanallah, la ilaha illallah, mashallah, tabarakallah. All of that is part of gratitude, but it's only a part. A bigger part is when you try to become a person closer to Allah. You have a dark habit that you know you need to eradicate. You cut it for the pleasure of Allah. That's gratitude. You seek forgiveness when you've done something wrong. That is gratitude. We're all sinful, so am I. We're all working on our habits, myself included. But when you can work on those habits and you find that Allah is allowing you to improve your dedication and sincerity, Allah Almighty says, we will grant you, we will give you, come. That's gratitude. When you show gratitude, Allah gives you a sense of deep appreciation and contentment. You do not look at others who have more than you with the eye of envy and jealousy. Not at all. It's a great crisis when you see people having more than you. And like I said at the beginning, perhaps they don't and they're only showing off something that doesn't really belong to them. Because we're living in an age of artificial intelligence. We're living in an age where someone can show you that they've been to a place they've never even dreamt of. And they, you know where it has gotten. And it's going beyond that every single day. And here we are depressed and sad and jealous. Jealous of the non-existent. That's what has become today. Jealous of the non-existent. And Allah Almighty says, my beloved worshipper, I put you where you are for a purpose. There are some people, if we gave them more than we gave them, they might have turned away from us. And there are some people, if we gave them less than what we gave them, they might have turned away from us. We have kept you exactly where we know it is best for you and your duration on earth. We might give you more, we might take away something. You might be riches to rags and rags to riches. All that, take it in your stride. My beloved brothers and sisters, yawmun laka wa yawmun alayk. Part of this dunya is that a day for you and a day against you. It can't always be exactly the same. So when you fulfill your 5 daily prayers and you enjoy it and you're looking forward to it, it's a sign of the love of Allah for you. Why do we say this? Allah says it clearly in the Quran. And Allah says, whoever strives towards us, we open the doors of guidance for them. All those doors of closeness to Allah are opened. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Remember, if Allah doesn't want you to worship Him, you're not going to be able to do it. And for that reason, every day we ask Allah something. In every unit of prayer, there is a dua. Without that dua, your prayer is not valid. What's the dua? اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Allahu Akbar. I've said it and I say it again and again and again, because people need to know, it is the only supplication, hands down, that is repeated the most on earth every single day. How many billion Muslims are there? How many read 5 salah a day? People may not be on the 5. May Allah keep us steadfast and make us on the 5, because that's your duty. But even if they do 3 or 4 or 2, every unit of prayer, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path. Imagine, that's the dua. It shows you that the thing that Allah considers the greatest is when you are guided to the path. What is that guidance? I worship Allah. Worship Allah alone. I enjoy my acts of worship. Make an effort. I call on you, my brothers, my sisters, and I remind you, my brothers, my sisters, When Allah has asked you to do something, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Do it with pleasure. Allah's asked you to dress in a certain way, do it with pleasure. Never mind if they laugh and mock at you. Allah says, on that day, you will have the opportunity to laugh at those who laughed at you.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ
Surah Al-Mutaffifun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says quite clearly that the criminals or the sinful, they will laugh at the believers. They will laugh. And then Allah says towards the end,
فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ
On that day, the believers will laugh at the non-believers. They laughed at you in this world, no problem. It's an honor. You laughed at me because I grew my beard, because I dressed in a specific way, because I did something, because I prayed where people were watching me and it was not easy to do that. And they laughed, look at this guy, no problem. That laughter is registered for you, not against you. It's against them. They will laugh at you. I tell sisters who tell me that, you know, I want to wear hijab, but you know, people laugh and people scoff. I say, you know what? It is an honor. Consider it an honor to face what the sahabiyat faced. Subhanallah. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced something, and you are chosen to face that thing, surely you should consider it an honor. I give you another quick example. It's come to my mind. Many of us have lost loved ones. From among those loved ones, and Allah grant them all Jannah, some of us have lost our own children, be they babies, infants, childhood, teenage, beyond, maybe married, maybe those who had children as well, but it's your child. If you've lost a child, the sabr that Allah has chosen you to bear is similar to that which He chose Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to bear in a certain way, because he lost all his children in his lifetime besides one. All. Some in infancy, some in childhood, some a little bit beyond, some who were married. Subhanallah, he lost them. Imagine how. He is the most loved by Allah. And he went through these challenges. The sabr that he engaged in was unique, amazing. What sabr are you engaging in? When Allah says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ Allahu Akbar. Those who bear patience, Allah has chosen them to bear patience. And Allah says, when I have chosen you to bear patience and you have borne the patience, your reward and recompense with me is unlimited. What do you want? What do you want? Take it. When I tested you, you still loved me. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. It's a tough one. We all go through challenges. Thank Allah that your iman is not lost. Because that's the favor. What you have in material items, you may lose. It's okay. I remember a brother in South Africa from Somali origin. And he was a big businessman. Some riots happened, he lost everything, everything. And you know, no insurance, no nothing, and whatever else, it was just gone, totally gone, disappeared. They were interviewing him. He said, Alhamdulillah, I lost. But I want to tell you, when I walked from Somalia, imagine walking from Somalia. What he meant is, refugees, they came perhaps on truck and walking and so on, they trekked it down all the way to the south. He says, when I came, I had absolutely nothing. And Allah gave me whatever He gave me, this huge business. Today Allah took it away, but I have something. I've got my clothes, my house, and my this and my that. Why should I even say that I'm upset? I will say, inshallah, come back to me in 2 years' time and let's see what Allah gives me. I'm going to thank Him. He offered me an opportunity to engage in worship known as giving zakah and charity. I ask Him, oh Allah, give me that opportunity again. Imagine a man thinking that I lost everything, but because I was giving from there, I'm not asking Allah to give me for me. Allah, help me so that I can give others again. Imagine the level. Help me so that I can give others again. I promise you, less than 2 years later, his business was bigger than what it was prior to that. But those are the 2 years that are the most difficult years. You are going through hardship. I promise you, Allah will open your doors. All that is required is sabr and taqwa. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam's story. How beautiful, how powerful. When the brothers were actually exposed, and they finally asked the question, are you Yusuf perhaps? Why did they ask the question? Because some of the detail that was being mentioned here, no one could have known it. They said, innaka la anta Yusuf. Is there a chance here that you are that Yusuf? He says, ana Yusuf wa hadha akhi. First thing he says, qad manna Allahu alayna. Look, I don't want to talk about what Allah did not give me. I just want to say Allah's favored me. Allah's favored us. But when you read the story, it mentions every negativity that happened in his life. When it meant the most, he didn't even raise one piece of negativity. He just said, Allah favored us. And he tells his brothers, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. You need two qualities. If you have them, Allah will never waste the reward of those who do good. What are these two qualities? Sabr and taqwa. Bear patience and develop a good relation with Allah. That's all. Patience. It won't come today, it will come after a few years. I want to quickly remind you, Yusuf alayhi salam's story was resolved, according to some narrations, after 40 years. Your problem and mine, 4 minutes and we can't even bear patience. I promise you. 4 days, 4 months, 4 years. And where's the patience? These were the lovers of Allah. Allah loved them years on end. And then this is what happened. Years on end. Bear patience, my beloved brothers, my sisters. Isbir ala ma asabak. Whatever has befallen you from Allah, bear patience. Get closer to Allah. Thank Allah. Getting back to what I was saying earlier, compare yourself with those who have less than you in order for you to be able to appreciate the favors of Allah. But there is something in which you should compare yourselves with those who have been blessed in a bigger way than you. What is it? Ibadah. Acts of worship. In acts of worship, look at those who have achieved more than you. You come in and you're making your Jumu'ah or you're making your Salat al-Fajr and mashallah, you're sitting there and you're happy and so on. And then you see every day, you notice this one uncle comes much earlier than you and he's sitting and reading Quran there. You should tell yourself, inshallah, I'm going to come earlier than this man. And inshallah, I'm going to read more Quran. Not because I want to show off, but because I'd like to compete. You know, the day of Jumu'ah, there is a hadith that we learned years back. إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ وَقَفَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ عَلَى بَابِ الْمَسْجِدِ يَكْتُبُونَ الْأَوَّلَ فَالْأَوَّلَ فَإِذَا خَرَجَ الْإِمَامُ طَوَوْ صُحُفَهُمْ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الذِّكِرِ. Those are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, on the day of a Friday, the angels are standing at the doors of the masajid, writing down the names of the people in order of entry. Allahu Akbar. In order of entry. يَكْتُبُونَ الْأَوَّلَ فَالْأَوَّلَ. Who came first, second, third? Who came into the masjid for Jumu'ah? Have you ever won that competition? Have you ever won it? Subhanallah. Look, I'm telling it to you, but I'm also guilty. Don't make like the man talking to you is some holy, pious person there. I'm just reminding myself and yourselves. Perhaps may Allah Almighty grant us the strength. At least we come a little bit earlier. At least we come. Then that same hadith says, when the imam comes out to give his khutbah, they close the books and they also come and listen. Who? The angels. So those who came after the imam started his khutbah, yes, your Jumu'ah may be done, but it was not in the complete sense, in the way it should have been done. So you didn't make it to that particular register. You see. And there are so many other ahadith that tell this to us. So what I'm saying, when it comes to religion, compare yourself with those who have achieved more. You are reading Quran, half a juz a day. Push it, push it. Push yourself. Be hard. Let's go. As for this dunya, the dunya runs faster than you can catch up with it. At any given time. Moments ago, we were speaking about phones. And I was telling the brothers, look, this phone I use for recording only. I don't use it to talk to people because of a reason. And so on. But I want to tell you, the fitna of the technology today is that we all have the urge, because Allah gave us the affordability to buy something, we have the urge to always have the latest. Am I right or wrong? So if that is an urge, look, if you can afford it, no harm, you can get it. But if you are making that your focus, rather focus on Jannatul Firdaus. Get yourself used to using something until it serves you, then change it. That's something good. It's a very good habit. You don't need the S24 or 25 just because it came out. When your S21 is loyal to you and faithful and it's serving your purpose. Is it slow? Is it sluggish? Is there something wrong with it? Then you can change it. But if there's nothing wrong, why? Is there a reason? Don't get used to just having the latest for the sake of being a person who has the latest, because as a believer, it will dent your connection with Allah. It dents your connection. It definitely does. It's materialism that's taking over. And by the way, if I see someone driving the latest cars, don't think that I'm going to think, oh, this guy's fault. No. It's not up to me to say that. You are allowed to have the latest and the best if you can afford it, and you've fulfilled all that, you've ticked all the boxes. All I'm saying is don't allow yourself to run behind it. There's no purpose for this. Why did you do this? Allah is telling you, well, have you improved on your relationship with Allah? All of this technology should only be in order for us to get closer to Allah, to facilitate my acts of worship. You have a car, it should facilitate your coming to the masjid, your fulfillment of this, of salah. You have electricity, there's warm water, it should facilitate, make it easier for me to bath, to make wudu and so on. You have electricity, we spoke about. You have technology of whatever it may be. You have the phones, you have YouTube and whatnot. All of that, did you use it to gain closeness to Allah? Because I tell you, in the eyes of Allah, all the material items of the entire world from the beginning of its creation right up to the end, لا يسوى عند الله جناح بعوضة. It is not equivalent to the wing of a fly in the eyes of Allah. I tell you, you and I know that the best of creation and the most noble of all prophets of Allah is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah placed him on earth at a time when technology was not where it is. There was nothing known as technology. Yet Allah loved him more than you and I and all of us put together. If there was value in any of this, wallahi, I promise you, the first person who would get it would have been him. Recently, I visited a certain country and there was an interview. Someone asked me, if you met the Prophet, peace be upon him, and you could give him one piece of technology or social media that he didn't have, what would it be? For them, it's a relevant question. They were non-Muslims asking me this question. And immediately I said to myself, no way, I wouldn't give him any of what there is today because he already had more than that. Allah blessed him. And can I put it in figures quickly for you? Look at any social media platform and tell yourself who has the largest following on this platform. You won't go beyond 100 million, a few hundred million. No one has a billion on any platform. How many followers? Not just followers. People who learn, people who love, people who adore, people who follow, people who practice, people who really consider him the greatest of all. How many are there on earth today? Possibly 2 billion and beyond. No technology. Imagine. That's something amazing. Without technology it happened. Imagine. Allah, you think I need to change that? If there was technology, it wouldn't have been at that point. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You and I are followers of the same Nabi. Consider yourself fortunate and become a little bit more serious in your following of that Nabi of Allah, because you are one of so many billion. Don't lose out on the day of judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you will witness a prophet coming, some of them with one or two people, some with no people, some with a large group. That will be Musa alayhi salam. And then the largest and largest and largest of groups, one after the other, all of them my ummah. May Allah make us from among them. This is the beautiful faith that we follow. My brothers and sisters, I started off by saying don't show off. No point. Let's get closer to Allah. And I end by saying, in order to express our gratitude to Allah, let's get closer to Him. Every one of us knows where we need to work, what we need to sort out, inshallah. Get closer to Allah. Try and improve on all aspects of you, in all aspects of your living. And Allah Almighty will improve for you your deen, your dunya, your akhirah. ultimately, I tell you what is of great importance is the day you leave this earth, you leave with him. Ask Allah husnul khatima. Oh Allah, grant me a good ending. Oh Allah, grant me a good ending in a way that you are pleased with me. Oh Allah, give me shahada on my tongue. Do not embarrass me because of the sins I've committed. I have not committed them out of defiance of you, my Lord, but I've committed them out of weakness of human nature that I've been created upon. May Allah forgive all of us. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.